The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Our first guest tonight, former federal prosecutor Andrew Weissman, who is always judicious and reluctant to make predictions, had read and heard enough by the middle of the afternoon. And at 3:36 p.m., Andrew Weissman tweeted a zillion stories about Trump case, but bottom line is he is getting charged and it will be in D.C. and this week. Open issues are whether others may be charged and whether they will be in D.C. or Florida. Andrew Weissman's tweet came after news broke that Donald Trump's criminal defense lawyers went to the Justice Department headquarters in Washington, D.C. today for a meeting this morning that included Special Prosecutor Jack Smith. Just over 25 minutes later, possibly, maybe probably, after hearing how the meeting went from his lawyers, Donald Trump posted on social media, "How can the Department of Justice possibly charge me, who did nothing wrong?" That's how Defendant Trump's morning went. And then this afternoon, news broke that the swimming pool at Mar-a-Lago had been drained and in the process created a flood that may have damaged possible evidence in the documents case.
The swimming pool created a flood that might have damaged evidence? Wow. I guess here we are again. The walls are closing in on the bad orange man. What a distraction. Here the Biden crime family is being fully exposed, as is the FBI. And you can see what they lead with on their programs last night. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this show at TrumpetDaily.com, or you can go over to Rumble and just search for the Trumpet Daily, and you can watch the live stream there. You can join our growing audience at either of those platforms, whether it's Rumble or our very own website. Of course, you can get to the show on demand as well, or have it downloaded to your device, as so many people do. So we got a lot to get to on today's show. There's some leftovers from yesterday. We weren't able to play the News of the Work segment, so we'll save that for the start of the second segment this particular show. And we've also got the Celtic Throne feedback from Wilmington. That was on Monday night. And of course, today is showtime for Celtic Throne. They're probably en route to York even as we speak to gear up for their afternoon rehearsal before the big show in York, Pennsylvania, tonight. I think it's just 70 miles or so north of Wilmington. So if you're anywhere in that general vicinity, go to CelticThrone.com. You can still get to the York website. Just to go to CelticThrone.com and order your tickets for tonight's performance. So this case now, think about how serious these people take themselves. In 2020, as I was just mentioning with Sam, in 2020, they basically shut down an election, a presidential election, because of a leaking urinal in Atlanta. That, I mean, you got to send everybody home because there's a flood, right? There's a flood that's slowing down the entire election. So we're going to send everyone home. We're going to make sure that the urinal gets fixed. And then we'll come back tomorrow and count all of those new ballots that arrived with Joe Biden's name on it. Yes, indeed. And now it's the swimming pool. You've had moving boxes, you've had rustling papers. Do I need to do it again? The rustling papers. And now you've got the swimming pool leak. I mean, Jack Smith is really looking into this. This is the New York Times, the newspaper of record. It says prosecutors are expected to question a new witness in front of a federal grand jury sitting in Florida later this week, according to people familiar with the matter. It says at least one other witness has already appeared before the Florida grand jury, which is separate from the one that has been sitting for months in Washington. It's not clear why the second grand jury is taking testimony in Florida. Prosecutors are also interested in an incident from October in which a worker drained a pool at Mar-a-Lago, causing water damage in a room that contained computer servers that held digital logs for the compound's security cameras. And of course, Lawrence O'Donnell, as you just heard there, he reads that in the New York Times yesterday and says, aha, we got him. Get Trump operation is going into hyperdrive. They've got the leaking pool now added to the rustling papers. What more do you need? Put him in jail. Put him in prison. I mean, when you think about this, as I said a moment ago, amid all of the evil and the filth that we see in our world today, this was just today in the Wall Street Journal. Instagram connects vast pedophile network. Yeah, you know about Jeffrey Epstein. At least if you've listened to this show, you don't hear about it from the talking heads in the regime media. But Jeffrey Epstein, his island, his aircraft, that's not the only pedophile ring going on in the world today. This is the Wall Street Journal. It says Instagram, the popular social media site owned by Meta, that's Facebook, platforms, helps connect and promote a vast network of accounts openly devoted to the commission and purchase of underage sex content, according to investigations by the Wall Street Journal and researchers at Stanford. So Stanford and the Wall Street Journal now. This is quite the revelation. You wonder if MSNBC is going to get around to it, or if they're going to focus on the pool leak. It says here, pedophiles have long used the internet, but unlike the forums and file transfer services that cater to people who have interest in illicit content, Instagram doesn't merely host these activities. It says its algorithms promote them. This is scandalous. Promoting pedophilia. Promoting child pornography. Says here Instagram connects pedophiles and guides them to content sellers via recommendation systems that excel at linking those who share niche interests, the journal and the academic researchers found. I mean, just think of the minds of these people working at Instagram, working for Facebook, that actually lay out code that makes it easier for pedophiles to connect to these networks. It's you can see why so many, besides the fact that they're covering for their communist candidate, you can see why that in the case or the minds of so many, Hunter's laptop is really nothing. It doesn't mean anything to them. Oh, sex with prostitutes, snorting cocaine, getting into showers with nieces and nephews. I mean, this is normal behavior in the swamp, I guess. It says here, though out of sight for most on the platform, the sexualized accounts on Instagram are brazen about their interest. It says the researchers found that Instagram enabled people to search explicit hashtags such as pedo whore and preteen sex and connected them, that's hashtag preteen sex, and connected them to accounts that use the terms to advertise child sex material for sale. Such accounts often claim to be run by the children themselves and use overtly sexual handles, incorporating words. I can't even go on. That's at the Wall Street Journal today. The headline, Instagram connects vast pedophile network. And yet the New York Times, MSNBC, I mean, as far as they're concerned, Andrew Weissman, you heard him in the opening there. He's convinced the indictment for Donald Trump is coming down this week because he moved some boxes and wrestled some papers. And the guy working on the pool, I guess, created a leak. The pool at Mar-a-Lago. This is where we are. How corrupt is this regime media that covers for the communists, covers for the crime syndicate? Sundance says here, Andrew Weissman, and Norm Eisen are two of the most well-known members of this politically motivated group. Together, they have created a novel, or rather novel, legal theories to use by the DOJ against their political opposition. This is what it's all about. I mean, just get Trump. It's exactly as it's laid out. I mean, how appropriate was it to kick off our 12, or rather 10 issues of The Trumpet this year with this one in January, ready for war? As I said yesterday on the show, the battle lines are drawn. I mean, if you want tomorrow's news or tomorrow's headlines today, if you want it today, then call our operators. You can see the 800 number there at the lower third, 1-866-930-3024. It says here, the fact that the DOJ uses these novel theories and legal filings in the actual practice of law and prosecution shows how deeply connected the outside lawfare group is to the lawfare group inside the D.C. or inside Washington, D.C. See, Andrew Weissman, it's not like he's just a commentator at MSNBC. I mean, he's actively working in cahoots with the DOJ, with Jack Smith, to take down Trump, get Trump. Even as they cover up crimes, even as Chris Wray refuses to hand over a document that Grassley and Comer have read. So once Wray said the document doesn't exist, and then the two senators, or one senator, one representative, say, it does exist, we've read it. Okay, I guess it does exist then, but we can't turn it over. Why? Well, because there's an ongoing investigation. Sources and methods. Back to Sundance. It says, much of their lawfare approach, that is using the law as a weapon, is based on a goal of attrition. Wear down the target until they are eventually destroyed. The same approach and motive is intended toward the supporters of the target. Wear down the psyche of the target supporters until they too are destroyed. And that's why it's just disgusting to hear all of the, you know, even Republican candidates coming out and talking about all the crimes that Donald, not Joe Biden, these are good Republicans talking about the crimes of the Biden, or rather the crimes of the Trump family. Donald Trump, Chris Christie, you can tell from his opening speeches, he just announced, what was it, yesterday or earlier this week? And you can tell he's just on a kamikaze mission, as some have said on Twitter. He's just in there to take down Trump. He's one of the talking heads for ABC, I think it is. Another rhino coming out, and of course they set their sights on Donald Trump. Here's a collection of what Christie has said recently, clip 9.
Joe Biden still sits in the low 40s. He's still got a third of the people, just a third, when you talk about ratings, who say they think he deserves to be reelected in the latest poll.
But you still think he beats Donald Trump in a general
election? I think Donald Trump is the only Republican he can beat.
No, I think he's a coward, and I think he's a puppet of Putin. I really do. I don't know why. I say the truth. I can't figure it out. But there's no other conclusion to come to.
So let me tell you something, everybody. The grift from this family is breathtaking. It's breathtaking. Jared Kushner and Ivanka Kushner walk out of the White House and months later get $2 billion from the Saudis.
A lonely, self-consumed, self-serving mirror hog is not a leader. Well, let me be clear, in case I have not been already. The person I am talking about, who is obsessed with the mirror, who never admits a mistake, who never admits a fault, and who always finds someone else and something else to blame for whatever goes wrong, but finds every reason to take credit for anything that goes right, is Donald Trump. He is, for those of you who read the Harry Potter books, like Voldemort. He is he who shall not be named.
Trump wannabe, I guess. Hurling out the insults, saying that it's the Trump family grifting off of Donald Trump's celebrity. Is he serious? Is he serious? He's He's taking the puppet of Putin narrative and running with it? Seriously? So does he think the 2016 election was stolen? Is he now an election denier on the left? I guess he is. It says here, a few days ago, Weissman, this is back to the Sundance piece, Weissman and Norm Eisen published their model prosecution memo for use inside the DOJ and for the legal scribes and media to review prior to the DOJ making any Trump indictment announcement. This is the same playbook they have used successfully in the past to get all their allies on the same page for the preferred narrative. It's lawfare. That's what it's called here. Lawfare. Just wear the individual down. I mean, that's what they did with the Flynn family, with General Flynn, going after him, then threatening his son to get him to resign, to capitulate, whatever. It doesn't matter that he's not guilty. Just send the hounds in. Get him through the legal system. Says here, anticipating that Lisa Monaco is distributing the talking points and giving Jack Smith the groundwork for his upcoming novel indictment effort, Andrew Weissman then appears on MSNBC to discuss, as you just saw there. I didn't play the rest of that O'Donnell clip. But he has Weissman. He talks about Weissman's tweet yesterday at 3:36 p.m. or whenever it was. I mean, just down to the second. This is huge. Trump's going to be indicted this week. Yet another distraction. Yet another huge get Trump distraction. Even as all these crimes are being covered up. At The Hill, it says the political world is bracing for the possibility of a federal indictment of former President Trump, the leading candidate for the Republican presidential election next year. It says a flurry of recent activity and posturing related to a special counsel probe into his handling of classified documents is fueling talk that an indictment could be imminent. Never mind the classified documents that the Biden crime family handled and spread across the country. Never mind the classified documents that Obama took with him in 2017. Never mind even the classified documents that Mike Pence discovered. It's just Trump. It's all about getting Trump. Listen to Bill Barr. He's the one that covered up the Biden crimes. He covered them up. And yet when he talks about Donald Trump and what Jack Smith is doing and the handling of those documents, you know, the rustling of the papers, the moving of the boxes, I guess now the pool leak, it's very serious, says Bill Barr. Clip two.
Based on the facts, as the facts come out, I think over time people will see that this is not a case of the Department of Justice, you know, conducting a witch hunt. In fact, they approached this very delicately and with deference to the president. And this would have gone nowhere had the president just returned the documents. But he jerked them around for a year and a half. And the question is, did he deceive them? And if there's evidence of that, I think people will start to see that this says more about Trump than it does the Department of Justice. And that is that he's so egotistical that he has this penchant for conducting, you know, risky, reckless acts to show that he can sort of get away with it. It's part of asserting his ego. And he's done this repeatedly at the expense of all the people who depend on him to conduct the public's business in an honorable way. And, you know, we saw that with both impeachments. And there's no excuse for what he did.
Isn't it amazing that all of the individuals asserting their egos, Barr, Peter Strzok, Weissman, the talking heads in the regime media, they've been asserting their egos for years. And they talk about Trump being egotistical. They talk about Trump being an ego, I guess, maniac of some kind. And they're trying to get, he's more concerned, that man right there, he's more concerned about getting Trump than he is about exposing the truth that's right there on a laptop, that's right there in files inside the FBI, covering up a bribery scheme. You can see why they're all rushing to comment on the case of the pool leak. because they're at the same time covering up the crimes, the actual crimes carried out by the Obama-led Biden crime family. That's right. We've got to call it what it is. Here he sits on the Biden bribery. That document goes back to Bill Barr days, the one that James Comer is demanding, the one that Chris Wray won't turn over. It goes back to the Bill Barr years, and they did nothing. It says here at the Washington Post, of course, the regime media, they're doing everything that they can to say there's nothing important in the document. Don't worry about it. It is important for Chris Wray to conceal it. And here they are threatening, just like they did back in the days of Devin Nunes and Kash Patel. They're threatening, or rather saying, that if we reveal what we have, I mean, some of our informants, the lives of these people could come under fire. They could be threatened. They could receive death threats. How easy it is to conceal crime if all that you need to do is just go tell the Washington Post or the New York Times that, hey, we can't reveal anything here because it would be dangerous to do so. Well, if you carry that out, you can cover up everything. And that's exactly what Chris Wray and company are doing. The Washington Post, of course, is happy to cover for them. It says here, according to people familiar with the investigation who spoke on the condition of anonymity to detail sensitive information, the allegation in the document came to the FBI through the Pittsburgh field office, where Barr had created a channel for allegations involving Ukraine. It says this included materials Rudy Giuliani had gathered from Ukrainian sources claiming to have damaging information about the Biden family. It says the allegation contained in the document was reviewed by the FBI at the time and was found not to be supported by facts, and the investigation, it says, was subsequently dropped with the Trump Justice Department sign-off, according to people familiar with the investigation. And they're relying basically on input from Jamie Raskin, who's the new Adam Schiff, basically. He's taken over for Adam Schiff as the liar-in-chief in the House. Raskin says, yeah, the investigation was dropped. I mean, they never pursued after it. Even Bill Barr came out and said, that's not even true. We sent it back to the Pittsburgh office to look into it. The investigation is still going on. But you see how Raskin just lies, and then the whole story at the Washington Post is based on those lies. This is from the Federalist. It's not true. It's quoting Bill Barr. It's not true. It wasn't closed down, Barr told the Federalist on Tuesday, in response to Jamie Raskin's claim that the former attorney general and his handpicked prosecutor had ended an investigation into a confidential human sources allegations that Joe Biden had agreed to a $5 million bribe. So here's the strong response coming from Bill Barr when it's Jamie Raskin. He says, it's not true. It was not shut down. How about, look, the ego on this man. Raskin is so eager to assert his ego. He never talks like that about the Uniparty, does he? No, that's reserved for the bad orange man. The bad orange man who's committed all of these crimes that they can't prove, that they've never been able to prove. That's why they're talking about rustling papers and leaking pools, because they can't prove anything. They don't have anything. Here they were spying on the man for more than 13 months. And this is what they get? He's got a 4-year track record as a sitting president of the United States. He takes home with him to Mar-a-Lago some dinner menus and napkins. And then they're going to try to tell you that he has all the nuclear codes that he's going to send around the world. That didn't pan out. So now they're down to rustling papers and leaking pools. You see how deranged Get Trump, the movement, is. But the thing of it is, both sides are being exposed here. I mean, the Democrat side and the Republican side. You see or hear Chris Christie? He's talking about the Trump children as grifters. And he's got Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and Jim Biden and all the even the nieces and nephews were in on the wire transfers, getting money from the CCP. And you've got the FBI covering it all up. This is from William McGurn. It says here, House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer subpoenaed a Federal Bureau of Investigation form, he says, outlines details of a $5 million bribe allegedly paid to Joe Biden while he was vice president. Until last week, the FBI wouldn't even concede the document existed. I mean, just think about what's happening inside the FBI. Until last week, they wouldn't even concede that it existed. It says here, but after Comer and Grassley told Ray in a phone call last Wednesday that they'd already seen the document, pretending it doesn't exist was no longer an option. Now that the FBI says there's an investigation, there's a campaign to discredit the charges before the public can see them. It's just like, you remember when Nunez came out with the memo to make that public, how hard they fought, Raskin and friends, to try to keep that memo from ever seeing the light of day. They were working to try to discredit it before it ever surfaced. And that memo basically exposed the Trump-Russia collusion hoax. But you see how they still won't let that go. Not even Chris Christie. For whatever reason, he's a Putin stooge. He's a puppet of Putin. They can't. The narrative runs so deep in the swamp that even when it's fully exposed as a hoax, the rhino Republicans, the rhinos, can't come out and say, you know what, we got that wrong. You know, this would be an honest Chris Christie. There's a lot of things about Trump that I don't like. I don't like his tweets. I don't like this or that. But the fact remains, he had a pretty good term, at least until the Fauci COVID crisis came on the scene. But he did pretty good. I just think I could do better, and here's why. But there's none of that. It's kamikaze Christie. Come in and just talk about the grifters, not in the Biden family, the Trump family. It's like my father says in America Under Attack. I mean, he's standing, Trump that is, he's standing virtually alone, courageously going forward. This article here, by the way, it's from the Washington Times. Peter Navarro, he's the one that used to work for Trump. But you read this and really, it's almost the exact same tone as you'll find in the Trumpet magazine just a few months ago. As I say, tomorrow's news today. Navarro here in the Times in this op-ed, he's talking about what everything that Trump's going up against. It's, again, Trump practically alone. He says here, the 2024 Republican presidential primary campaign is not a traditional contest among independent political entrepreneurs. It's a chess match pitting Donald Trump against a deep-pocketed, never-Trump cartel with vast media reach. He's going against the never-Trump cartel. And Chris Christie is a proud member. It's not just Lawrence O'Donnell. It's O'Donnell, Chris Christie, DeSantis. Yes, that's true. It's all of them. That's why popular support for DeSantis has been plummeting, because those who support Donald Trump, they don't like the fact that he came out, he came against Trump. He's now criticizing Trump after he praised him and really has his governorship, the first term of it. He can thank Donald Trump for that. Even if he should be prescient enough to know that even if they were able to destroy Trump, they'd be coming after DeSantis next. There was that big, what was it, the CNN bombshell yesterday about Ron DeSantis and his connection to Clarence Thomas. This is clip 3.
New details about the close relationship between Republican presidential candidate Ron DeSantis and Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. It has to do with one connection, really. Leonard Leo, a conservative activist who had previously advised both DeSantis and Donald Trump on judicial nominations. Leo is also friends with Justice Thomas. So 3 years ago at an event for the Florida chapter of the Federalist Society, DeSantis said this about Justice Thomas.
This is a justice that has the courage of his convictions, and he's willing to apply the Constitution, you know, regardless of any criticism that he may face, because I do think he is our greatest living justice. Thank you.
And after that speech, DeSantis, Thomas, and Leo all went out to dinner.
They went out to dinner? Why, this is right up there with the pool leak. This is right up there with the rustling papers. He had dinner with Justice Thomas 3 years ago? Yeah, that's right. That's a segment that went on for more than a minute. As I said earlier, it's amazing that these people take themselves as seriously as they do. Here they brush aside, they turn a blind eye to actual crimes, to the pedophile network on Instagram. They won't cover that, but they'll talk about Ron DeSantis having dinner with Clarence Thomas or the pool boy at Mar-a-Lago. Got to get to him because we've got to take out Trump. Navarro says this Never Trump cartel is anchored by a dark money Coke network, big pharma, vaccine peddlers, and Democratic Wall Street billionaires who hedge their political bets by funding Republicans. This globalist troika is united in their love for open borders to import cheap labor and the offshoring of American factories and jobs to leverage the sweatshops and pollution havens of Asia. It's just really a sick and corrupt system through and through. And you can see why, that they're all on board with anyone but Trump. I mean, except Comey. He's got to be Biden, the way he sees it. He's the head of the crime family. We don't want to see the crime family exposed. But all the rest of them, look, get DeSantis in there. Get whoever in there. Chris Christie, as if these people even have a chance. Now, where are the polls, by the way? DeSantis comes out with the big announcement. You would think that the polls would be itching to find out 3 days later, 7 days later, where DeSantis is with respect to, is he gaining ground on Trump? Answer, no. So suddenly the polls have gone silent. Evidently, DeSantis isn't quite as well received as he was hoping, as the establishment was hoping, as the Never Trump cartel was hoping. It says here, the Never Trump cartel likewise includes corporate media conglomerates ranging from CNN and MSNBC to the rhino right of Rupert Murdoch's Fox News empire. Rounding out the roster is coterie of Silicon Valley venture capitalists and social media oligarchs, including Mark Zuckerberg. He's the one presiding over the Instagram pedophile network. But never mind that. Let that go. Okay? Let it go. It says here, including Zuckerberg, who spent vast sums to defeat Mr. Trump in 2020, and the richest man in America who has offshored his largest Tesla factory to China. He's talking about Twitter's Elon Musk. Thought it was interesting last night when Tucker Carlson had his first post on Twitter. He said, we've been told that this is going to be a free platform, that we can say whatever we want, and we'll stay on Twitter as long as that's true. I think that's a little bit of a warning shot to Elon Musk. You better let us do what we want. And by the way, how many views does that Tucker video have? It was like 63 million earlier this morning. I think that's views for the tweet. But that's, I mean, if he gets 3 to 4 million people watching his show on Fox, and he can get tens of millions? Sign of the times. And yet, well, you listen to Lawrence O'Donnell. I mean, he takes himself seriously. He's going to talk about leaking pools after all. People see through this. It's just a circus. All phony. All fakery, as we had on the Trumpet magazine just a couple months ago. It says here, ABC's designated Trump hitter Chris Christie is on a similar kamikaze mission. This former New Jersey governor is one of a pack of former Trump loyalists who switched sides after the 2020 election. You see how strong the intimidation is coming from the devil. You see how strong it is, this false narrative. The election in 2020 was perfect. 2016, okay, we can talk stolen election there, and we can certainly talk about it next year if Trump manages to win. But 2020 was perfect. 100 million mail-in ballots sent all over the country? No problem. No problem with any of that. And then Rudy Giuliani comes along and they gang tackle him. He's an idiot. He's losing his mind. And people like Chris Christie just cave in to the pressure coming from the communist left. They talk stronger against Trump and his family. You've heard it from Christie. You obviously hear it from Bill Barr. These are supposedly Republicans. You get them on the subject of Trump. I mean, there's going to be some venomous, some really outrageous attacks verbally, just vicious. But then get them on the subject of Barack Hussein Obama. He's an angel of light. They swoon. Even on the right, they swoon. The battle lines are drawn, right? Ready for war. I mean, you can see what Trump has to be ready for. And you can see why he comes out and attacks Jack Smith or whoever it is that's saying, yeah, the indictments are coming. I mean, if Trump didn't do that, who would defend the man? And we've often wondered on this show just how strong the defense is coming from Trump's own attorneys. They were in with the DOJ the other day. Who knows what kind of case they presented? Did they go in and say, look, please don't issue an indictment. Don't go after Trump on this and that. Or did they go, if you go after Trump, we're coming after you. Just so that you know. I suspect it was probably the former. There's just so little fight in so many of these people that just want to get down on both knees and beg for mercy from the communist leadership, the communist authoritarian state. It's so obvious. The FBI, the DOJ, I mean, that's what carries out the police state tactics of the Obama crime family. And you can see it in the way they deal with just one simple document that proves what? That Joe Biden was taking bribes? Isn't that treasonous? Of course it is. Of course it is. But Bill Barr, you see, you got to sit on it because that would expose the deep state. That would expose what we sat on all these years. They're all compromised. It's really sad. I mean, I speak of it as if I'm angry, and it is angering. But it's also tragically sad to see these people. It really, I mean, I got from one of my news gatherers this morning just how similar this is to the Laodicean spirit of just kind of going along, okay, here comes the lawsuit over Mystery of the Ages, but you know what? We're not going to get involved in the fight. We're just going to hang back on the sidelines. We're not really going to take a position one way or the other. That's the way Bill Barr thinks. And so many of those Laodiceans, when we were fighting for Mystery of the Ages, they were happy to see that we retained the rights to the book, but that you get them on the subject of the PCG and my father and the way he leads the church, and oh, it's just so horrible the way they talk about. I mean, that really gets them riled up for sure. But you talk about any of these other Laodicean groups, and there's plenty of them. There's dozens of them that have splintered into one group after another after another. And they're going to talk like, well, you hear the talking heads talk about Biden or Hunter or anyone else in the Uniparty. It says here that Mr. Christie is willing to give up his high-profile ABC gig to enter a race he can't possibly win is the real tell in the cartel's Never Trump con game. This pill... Well, he kind of puts him down. I'll skip over the put-down. Let's not pick at Christie. Because of his looks or weight or whatever. But it says here, is the least popular of Republican candidates with a rare net negative approval-disapproval rating. It says, if ABC takes Mr. Christie's smoldering cinder of a political corpse back for the general election run after he does his wet work on Mr. Trump, that network is ethically bankrupt. See, they're all in on it. That's Navarro's point. It's a cartel. It's a cartel, and the intent there is to take down Donald Trump. Navarro says there will be no shortage of other sacrificial pawns. Most prominent on the chessboard is former Vice President Mike Pence, a perennial Koch network supplicant, Mike Pence, says further on here, the field will fill further, possibly with former Wyoming rep Liz Cheney, her blood feud with Mr. Trump over his open disdain for her father, former Vice President Dick Cheney, is palpable. Mr. Trump holds the neocon, Mr. Cheney, directly and rightly responsible for his costly endless wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and the blood and treasure lost to America. Navarro says, if the Never Trump cartel pollsters think Liz can drain votes from Mr. Trump, she'll be in the race faster than a lie from Representative Adam Schiff's mouth. It says, if Mr. Trump wins the nomination, Ms. Cheney may run as an independent spoiler with full cartel backing. It says, here we must remember that the Never Trump cartel cares not who wins the general election. Once Mr. Trump is out, the uniparty wins either way. You just got to get rid of Trump. You just got to get Trump. There's another article here from the Washington Post about Donald Trump's war against his own party, the RINOs. You see what he's going up against. Standing virtually alone. Virtually alone. He has widespread support just from ordinary Americans because they see what's happening. They see how fraudulent the current administration is. They know it was stolen. And they see Joe Biden as the oldest president this country's ever had. They see him literally stumbling all over the place. The KJP, by the way, she was asked about these falls by a reporter who really was approaching the subject in a serious manner. He wasn't making fun of the president, but he was just asking her, well, look at what's happening. And are his handlers really handling him the right way? Listen to this exchange, clip 4.
I want to ask about the president's tumble that he took on the stage in Colorado the other day. It's absolutely true that any one of us could trip over an object just happens to be in our path. Nonetheless, we've all observed the difficulty this president has in certain settings. Steps are one of them. Of course, there was no sandbag in his path on the steps up Air Force One on any of those occasions. And I was struck particularly by the incident on May 19 in Hiroshima, where the president descended down a set of stone steps toward a shrine, at the bottom of which steps he was greeted by the Japanese Prime Minister. And if you look at that footage, the president slipped and caught himself on those steps. And as he greeted the Prime Minister, you could even see on the president's face pursed lips as if to say, this was a close one. And I know I watched that scene with my heart in my hands, because this was a set of stone steps, and even though there were handrails on either side, he was directed by his advance team, presumably, to descend at the middle of those steps, unaided by the handrails, the Japanese Prime Minister, an aide, or anything else. And that could have been really catastrophic. And so my question to you is whether this whole series of incidents has led the White House Chief of Staff to direct some kind of review of the advance procedures that are employed on behalf of this, the nation's oldest president.
This is a president, that has had an incredibly impressive first 2 years.
Never mind what you see with your eyes. Just take our word for it. It's been great. It's been perfect. There, if any of these kinds of things were happening to Donald Trump, as I've said before, I mean, look at how they went after him when he just walked slowly down a slippery ramp. But here, I mean, you've got there was no sandbag on the stairwell up to Air Force One. Fell, what, 2 or 3 times? Bike tipped over, and again, as the reporter rightly points out, any of us could fall. But it's getting worse. It's getting worse. Could have been even more disastrous at Hiroshima because he didn't go to one side of, even I would go to one side or the other with my bum hip to grab a railing. They sent him down the center, though, and he very nearly fell there. What are they thinking? Maybe they're not thinking. Who knows? But the reporter's right to at least ask about it. And the response, listen, everything's going perfect. It's just perfect. Get him on the subject of Trump, any of those people in the press room. And I mean the ego, the problems, the sins, the lawlessness. He's going to prison. Trump standing virtually alone. I played this clip for you last week. It was Donald Trump just pointing out how important it is for us to have courage. This is clip six.
What they did was so bad, and they've been caught. Now, so far, nothing's happened to them of consequence. We had an Attorney General Bill Barr who didn't have the courage to fight. He just didn't have the courage. He was a nice man, but he didn't have the courage. He lost his courage when they wanted to impeach him. They said, we're going to impeach Bill Barr. They didn't even know why. There was no reason to impeach him. He didn't do anything wrong. But he didn't have the courage. We need courage in this country, or we're going to lose our country.
He points out there that the deep state, they threatened Bill Barr, and then that's when he started to capitulate. That's when he surrendered. Are they going to impeach? Well, I guess I better stand up for the Uniparty then. And instead of siding with Trump, I'm going to stand for the Uniparty. And he still stands with them today. When we come back, I know I went way too long on this opening segment, but we will have time in the next segment, the short segment, to give you the news of the work update. It has to do with our Canadian office, our regional office near Toronto. So that will be right after the break. And then hopefully we'll have time to squeeze in some of the feedback from the Wilmington performance of Celtic Throne on Monday night. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. One third of your Bible is prophecy, and 90% of it is for our time today. This is why, when you study Bible prophecy, you often read statements like, in that day, in the last days, and at the time of the end. Biblical prophecy is what makes the Bible so relevant to today, so essential to understanding our modern world. Most people, even in the world of religion, assume that nations like Britain, America, Germany, Russia, and China are not mentioned in Bible prophecy. But if prophecy is mainly for our time today, how could the Bible ignore some of the most powerful and prominent nations of today? The key to understanding prophecy is knowing the biblical identities of modern nations. Learn about these identities in Herbert W. Armstrong's book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. In this book, you will learn about the astonishing identity of the American and British people in biblical prophecies. Request your free copy today, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. The Trumpet Daily.
On a recent visit to Canada, Mr. Stephen Fleury and his family visited and toured the church's regional office. The Philadelphia Church of God's Canadian office operates as an extension of headquarters. From the office, four staff members and three ministers manage the church's activities in Canada and support a variety of headquarters departments. The PCG in Canada was incorporated in 1992. The office currently rents 4,700 square feet of office space to do the work, four times the space it occupied when it first moved into this building in 2004. Four full-time ministers and one local church elder pastor congregations across Canada and Alaska. These ministers must cover vast distances to serve all the members. One preaching elder's region spans 1.5 million square miles, equivalent to 40% of the entire U.S. Office staff produce congregational bulletins and calendars and plan activities and events. Staff also handle all of the PCG's Canadian financial matters, including processing donations, paying vendors, and mailing donation statements. Canadian donation income has increased an average of 7% every year for the past 4 years. The Canadian office also processes all incoming and outgoing mail for the region, including literature mailing to Canadian members and subscribers and personal correspondence letters. Through the Trumpet Newsstand program, office staff strive to get more magazines in waiting rooms and reception areas, dramatically increasing the reach of the magazine. The office manages all Key of David TV station contracts in Canada and also organizes the Canadian Feast of Tabernacles. In addition to managing the operations of the Canadian region, the regional office staff support the operations of numerous headquarters departments. Some staff members contribute articles to the Trumpet magazine and website, appear on Trumpet Hour, or conduct research for Trumpet Writers and the Trumpet Daily. The Canadian staff make a significant contribution to the church's social media presence, handling content posting to various social media platforms. The staff assist the broadcasting and television department by managing Key of David production schedules and performing other related tasks. Staff members help record and edit audiobook recordings of literature, periodicals, and co-worker letters for the visually impaired. Some staff members also help with foreign language translation. The Canadian office is supported by 4 volunteer French translators in Eastern Canada who work with the office to translate a variety of church materials into French. Through these and other tasks, Canadian regional office staff members and ministers provide tremendous support to the work of God from the field. To learn more about the work of the Philadelphia Church of God, please visit pcg.church.
Great segment there about our work in the Canadian office. As it was pointed out there, my wife and I recently spent some time up there and got to take a tour through the offices. So that was really a special weekend for us. All right, we've got the, I think we have time. It's about 2 minutes, so we better hurry. York is tonight. That's Pennsylvania. Go to CelticThrone.com to secure your tickets for this evening's performance. That's in eastern Pennsylvania, a town called York. So we'll finish today's show with some feedback from the show at Wilmington on Monday night. See you next time.
Excellent. Fantastic. The best Celtic show I've ever seen. It is absolutely fantastic.
The show is outstanding.
Oh, it's wonderful. Oh, man, the dancing and the endurance that they have to just keep going.
Outstanding, man. Power, precision, athletics. It's everything, man. It's just absolutely awesome.
The people in it, the children in it. The best Celtic show I have ever seen in my life. It truly is. They are wonderful. Can't say anything greater than these people. And they're young people. That's what I love. They're young people now doing this and bringing it up even more. I love it. I love it. I love it. It's just wonderful.
It's so good. We're having so much fun. Thank you so much. It's amazing. The dancers are amazing.
It's so great. And the favorite part is when the Green Irish Girls danced. I like the Green Irish Girls too.
I think it's absolutely awesome. I had tears coming out of my eyes. It's the most joyful thing I've ever seen.
The live music sets it apart from any other Irish dance show. Yeah. 10 out of 10.
You guys did great.
Thank
and I work here.
Oh!
So I got to see y'all practice and everything. So you guys did excellent.
You guys were amazing. Absolutely incredible. I'm so glad we took the time to come out to see you.
The show is amazing. Very, very well done, well executed. The music was great. The dancing, the choreography. Thank you so much.
It was wonderful. Everybody did such a good job, and it was nice to learn the history.
You guys are great, and that, what I was telling them is I like that you're all young and coming up, and I just love it, and I wish you all the best. And you can see it in the show. You can see that you love what you do,
thank
and
you.
That makes it even better.